sometimes I think I'm going to change it to a partial rapture because a lot of people are gone. They're raptured. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of this prayer, test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. You've gone to the trouble to get up, get here, and all that. Let's make it count spiritually and at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this humble assembly. How grateful we are for the opportunities that you give us to worship, to minister, to serve. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's open our hymnals to 156. But before y'all come up, just a moment, let me tell you a little story. Let me tell you the story about Elvina Hall, the writer. This is no coincidence. Elvina was in the choir at her church, and she just felt the preacher was just kind of going on, and so she started thinking about the Lord and salvation and all, and she didn't have any paper, so she wrote it on her hymn paper that they gave her, and she was writing just some thoughts, and she wrote these thoughts down, and lo and behold, after church, she had the gall to show the pastor and tell her what she had done. And no mentions made on what he thought about it, about her doing that during class. But nevertheless, he looked at it in his office. And what was so amazing, that very Sunday, the pianist had given him the tune to a song that just the tune that was in his mind. And the pastor looked and he said, you know what? These words could go with this tune. And the two were born right there that Sunday by that pastor. So this is the story of Miss Hall. So let's stand and sing Jesus Paid It All, page 156. I get to be the pianist.
Sin had left a crimson stain. throne. I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain.
Thank you. Beautiful. Seventeen years ago, I did a study called Know Who You Are in Christ, subtitled Sad, Stress, Anxiety, Depression. Why you do not have to experience stress, anxiety, and depression. Know who you are in Christ. Believe who you are in Christ. Live who you are in Christ. I think maybe I need to go over that again. Do some work on it. I found out that the second number one, the number two cause of deaths in teenagers in America is suicide. I don't understand that. I do not have the ability. I understand the sin nature and all, but a teenager wanting to end their own life, that never entered my mind. Maybe run away. But never in my life. I don't understand it. But it's the number two cause. The number one cause, accidental deaths like in driving. And I wonder how many of those are really suicide and we don't know. And and then it goes to other, Google goes on to other age brackets of suicide in America. It's also alarming. Old age has become epidemic for old people to take their own lives. It just is amazing. And I don't know. When I read and hear and listen to these kind of things, maybe we ought to go back over that again. And I remember when I did it, I got a call from, I think it was Colorado, and the lady said, "You don't know me. But I listened to you, and I shared with my psychologist, who I go visit once a week, $75 a pop, and he told me if I would do what you said, I would need to pay him. And so I said, but send me the $70. No, I didn't. And this is alarming, people. And I guess y'all knew that, aware of these kind of things. I live in a very small world. You're my world, and most of you know the Lord. You love the Lord, love America, love the Constitution, and basically strive to stay in the Spirit and sinless and this kind of thing. But this isn't what's going on in the world. And I'm really isolated as to all that is going on in the world. And this came across to my attention, the suicide rate and of teenagers and their dilemma, their fears, their worries, their concerns. And I'll tell you, one of the ones that came up, I read a lot of the articles, one said they don't know how to communicate with each other. They're this, all the time. That's all they know about communicate. They don't know how to interact with people. And that's just alarming. And just be in prayer. God will guide me and what needs to be said, what doesn't need to be said. for you? I don't think so. But if we are indeed have the outreach that I'm told we do on the internet, maybe we need to walk that way again. Maybe not as long, and combine some of the things that we studied in that study. But it was just be in prayer that the Holy Spirit can guide me in that regard. Okay, let's talk about some prayer requests. Yes. Please be in prayer for Jim and Annell. Wonderful people in this assembly. Vital. So we definitely will be in prayer. Thank you. Any other prayer requests? Do you know the status of Candace? Okay. People be in prayer for Candace. She's not a teenager, but she's a young 20-year-old, in her early 20s. So we need to be in prayer for her and her parents. Any other prayer requests? Yes. Yes, Jennifer? Wow, okay. That's a heavy prayer request.
And just for us, for wisdom, you know, talking to them and just, you know, my mom also is unwell, and we spent yesterday with her. She had some sort of infection in her legs is what we're hoping it is. It could be gout, but she was having a hard time walking. So.
Is she in pain?
Yes.
Severe pain?
Yeah, it was so bad. Yeah. She said she couldn't walk, yeah.
Oh.
But she's walking now, but it still hurts.
Okay. Be in prayer.
Be in prayer for your dad. Gospel. Gospel hearing. Be in prayer for you if you talk with him. And it's interesting that you use the word wisdom. Guess what next Sunday morning subject's going to be? Wisdom. So we'll examine it a little closer next Sunday morning. Any other? Yes, Gigi.
My daughter's 28th birthday today.
Oh,
okay.
As usual.
How old?
28.
How old are you?
But my friend Dennis passed away a couple weeks ago. Pray for his wife, daughter, and adopted granddaughter. But more importantly, vote for the folks. Pray for the black people of Dallas, who I had the opportunity of going to see yesterday with the festival. And these people got the word.
Right,
Christ.
Let me be clear. Yesterday you went to a black people's festival.
Yeah, the Harambe Festival.
Tell us about it.
The 44th year that my friend helped put it together. But we went there and it forced the Republican people to come. Well, anyway, I got some people together and they were surprised to hear the word of God.
Mm.
They were praying. They're like, what's going on here? And the people we spoke to were Republicans.
Oh,
and how much they needed prayer and help from the Republican Party for keeping them down and on welfare. It was amazing to see these guys look like, what's going on here? I said, this is the real world that you don't hear about.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of people, well, you know, they're doing the Democratic thing, but people, they're looking for help from here and from the Republican Party.
You mean CNN didn't do a special on that?
The Republican Party and I have problems, and they're going to straighten out. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you very much.
Be in prayer. Continue to be. Yes.
Keep the Jewish people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just pray for the Jewish people in Pittsburgh and what they're.
It's really unfortunate. We know anti-Semitism is strong in America.
I was also saying that the bomber. I mean, what they're trying to do with the election, and we know it's all just rhetoric.
He was a Democrat.
Yeah.
He's a Democrat. I have proof on that.
Semitism is strong in America, and these kind of things are going to happen more and more. I talked to Robbie Dean yesterday, and he had talked to one of the officials at the synagogue where the shooting took place. And what is so interesting is that they had invested a nice sum of money on security. And they had a lot of things, and they learned a lot. They forgot and did not do the number one point of entrance. I mean, all they would have needed was somebody at the door. This man's not here to worship. You could tell by the way he walked in, what he looked like, and the way he was dressed. He was not there to worship. But they had neglected the first point of security, point of entrance. It's really tough. And Robbie was telling me that a lot of churches, large churches in America, are having securities at their doors. Big churches are having little, what we call golf carts, out in the parking lot during service to protect the cars and protect the people after the service. That's welcome to modern America. This needs to be in our prayers with what's happened with the bombings. I don't care what party it is. Attacks on the synagogue. This country is in trouble. It needs to have prayer, people. And what are we going to pray for? Start your prayer off with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that God organized this country with a constitution where 33% of our constitution is from the Bible. And the foundation is Christian. And we've moved away from it. Therefore, pray for a return, if at all possible, by our leaders, preachers. Preachers are pitiful. I wouldn't give you a hoot for a preacher today. They're just absolutely pitiful. Very few of them. Study the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. And stand on the Word of God as a divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Now, well, some of it's true, some of it's not true, some of it's just stories so they can tell a story, all this kind of thing. It's pitiful. This country's in real trouble from the pulpit, from seminaries, that do not teach them how to be filled with the Spirit. And if they do teach them how to be saved by grace through faith. So please be in prayer. As we go into November elections, in prayer for our president, vice president, their staffs, they need our prayers. All unbelievers, Jewish unbelievers, all unbelievers. The bombings, this type of thing is not needed. We know why it's happening if you have any political savvy, what's going on. But it's a shame that people have to make their point in such a horrible, horrible way. So we're in a lot of trouble. Any other prayer requests? Okay, now, a very important day coming up. Veterans Day.
Last year, Larry and Brian will be cooking burgers and hot dogs and doing some food for a donation. It should be a wonderful day to celebrate all this.
Tiff and I were making our list of the veterans and her family, my family, and I looked down and said, okay, that's good, but I had to put one more at the bottom, Audie Murphy, so good old Texas, United States Army. So please plan on coming. People, I got to tell you, I was thoroughly moved. It was so impressive last year. Just absolutely a great idea. And when they let the balloons go and you watched them go up into the sky, it was just powerful. And forget the three planes that crashed because of no. But it was just a wonderful, wonderful day. And I'm praying for really a nice weather day. And but whether, regardless of the weather, please plan on coming and enjoying a wonderful Veterans Day with other people who respect those men and women who have served, give their lives, some cases, and their lives on the field or in serving their life, or served a short time as vets. So please just plan on it one day, November the 11th. By the way, next Sunday, first Sunday, we have communion. So bring some snack food left over from Halloween, and then come to eat, and then we'll have a communion and then fellowship time together. And then the following Sunday, that'd be the following Sunday will be the 11th, and we'll have Veterans Day out at the park. So don't eat the big lunch that day. I'll remind you again, because plan on eating at the site. It's just really, you'll be thankful you came if you come to that. So, that in mind. Anything else? Okay. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. Because it is the Holy Spirit who guides us what to do with our time and our money. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love the story of Gideon, where you were not impressed with numbers, because our numbers are not impressive. But we're not here to impress you with our numbers. We, Heavenly Father, are here to be impressed by you and what you do, what you provide. And Father, we pray now that you receive the money we're about to give in offerings. Continue to use this assembly in the spreading of the glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, does anyone not have Teachings of Christ? Anyone not have a copy? So everyone has a copy. Good. All right. So thankful to Kip for getting this out for us. Now, if you were not here Wednesday night, you missed a great one. Young Ben Daig gave a tremendous, insightful talk, message, on living a reckless life. Now that may not sound too good right at the beginning, but I was so thrilled by the way he put it together. Live reckless. Go ahead and believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Live a reckless life. Take off the old self, as we studied in Colossians 3. And be reckless. Dare to put on the new person in Christ. Put on those things that Colossians talks about. And then live reckless, tell others about Jesus Christ. It's a super message, Ben. Thank you very much. I appreciated when that day at the meeting where we had discussing, he said, reckless life. I went, oh no, you know. Well, I grew up with James Dean, Rebel Without a Cause, and all this kind of thing, people. You live reckless, that's the wild way to live. And then I looked at it and listened to it. That's powerful. Live reckless. Dare to believe in Jesus Christ in a world that doesn't. Live reckless. Dare to take off the old man. Dare to put on the new man who we are in Christ. And then live reckless and tell others of Christ. That to me was just beautiful. And so if you missed it and you want it, it's on the internet. So It got around 115 countries, Ben, so it's out there. All right. Okay, let's begin our study this morning, Teaching of Christ. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of this prayer is not a ritual. It's very important. We're getting ready to do the most dangerous thing you will do in your life. Study the Word of God. And I mean it. There is nothing more dangerous than opening this book. Because if you open it in the flesh, you'll see what you want to see. You must be able to see this in the filling of the Holy Spirit. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the greatest self-help book on earth, your Word. It tells us what's wrong in our lives and what to do about it. Heavenly Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see in Colossians 3:16. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, chapter 3 is a powerful chapter. Chapters 1 and 2 dealt with the foundation. Chapters 3 and 4 deal with living the Christian life. And the first 17 verses sort of is a package of its own. And it closes in verses 15 and 17 with three concluding commands. One, continue being at peace given by the Holy Spirit. Let the peace of Christ umpire in your hearts. Then the next one, continually thankful to God the Father, which we finished last week. Now, this morning, continue all your life getting to know the teachings about Jesus Christ. People, let me tell you something. You're never too old to learn about the Word of God and about Jesus Christ. I love the hymn. I love to tell the story. Those who know it best are the ones that love to hear it and learn more and more about Jesus Christ. So let's take a look now, Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ richly, oh, I love that word, richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, the verb let dwell. In the opening of verse 16, let, and then the rest part of that verb is dwell. Let dwell. Other translations have to live, to find a home, to reside, just to be, to occupy, and to fill. These are just some of the ways this is translated in various Bibles. These are all translations of the present active imperative of the compound Greek verb meaning to dwell in, to inhabit. We're familiar with this verb from the phrase, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But these two concepts, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Word of Christ, are much different. First, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we do not ask for it, we do not seek it, it happens at the point of faith in Christ. The moment we believe in Christ as Savior, this is one of the 34 things that God graciously does for us. Romans 8:9, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Romans 8:11, the Spirit dwells in you. Galatians 3:5, he who graciously supplies you with the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:14, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. These are just passages that have the word dwell primarily in them. There are many other passages that deal with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because Jesus Christ asked his Father to give us the Holy Spirit. I think it must have been remarkable. The humanity of Christ dies on a cross, laid in a tomb 3 days, 3 nights, rises out of the tomb, spends time on earth, goes to heaven in his resurrected body, the ascension and session. First thing God says, sit down, that's ascension. And to me, the first thing I'd have done, if Father, you can't believe those human beings. They are pitiful. You just, my own people put me on a cross. How about that? No, you know what he did? He said, Father, send them the Holy Spirit. That's powerful, people. First thing on his mind. He's had all the years on earth, death, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. I mean, unbelievable things. Send them the Holy Spirit. And God the Father agreed to send the Holy Spirit. So it's just something that happens to us the moment we believe in Christ. Let dwell or abide the Word of Christ. This begins with a definite article. The Logos, Dative Christos, the Word from Christ. Now be careful if you use a concordance here and turn to Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. First, there is no definite article before the word Word in the Romans 10:17. Secondly, the Greek word for Word in the Greek in 10:17 is different than in Colossians 3:16. It's Rhema, R-H-E-M-A, while in Colossians it's Logos. So here are not, these are not grammatically parallel passages. Colossians 3:16, the Word of Christ let dwell in you. Now, in the original Greek, let dwell is put first. That's what's emphasized. But for smoothness, the Word of Christ let dwell in you. That is, in your soul, your human spirit. Now, and how shall it indwell? Richly. This is a Greek adverb. Richly. Abundantly. More than enough. Each one of you know what this word means. How much money do you have? Are you rich? Or could you use a little bit more money? Everybody says they could use a little bit more money. Abundant amount of money is not enough. You need and want and desire more. And then more on top of that. Enough is never enough in the area of money. Many desire thousands. They're not satisfied. Then it's millions, multi-millions. And today, in the world, it's billions. This is exactly how we should think in regard to the word about Christ. We should desire more than more and more, and then still more of the word of Christ. You will note our translation starts off with the Word of Christ, because that's the way it is in the Greek, which gives emphasis to the first words in the sentence. See, I love Greek. I love Greek when I took it, because there's no order. You don't have subject, verb, object. In Greek, you can do it any way you want. The only problem is you do have to know the endings of the word, because that tells you whether it's a subject or an object or what it is. But you could have the object at the beginning. You could have the verb at the beginning. You could have the subject at the beginning. Have the subject at the end. Just any way you want to do it. Just be sure you use the right endings so that somebody will know what you're dealing with. And I love that. So the Word of Christ starts off this sentence. And if we start off with let dwell, then that is where the emphasis in the Greek would be. Greek syntax is not like the English, as I just said. The Word of Christ let dwell in you richly. Okay, we have two questions. What does the phrase the Word of Christ refer? Two, how do we let the Word of Christ dwell richly in us? But before we can understand how, we have to know what it is. What is the Word of Christ? The Word. Let's take a look. One, a word, a study of the word Word will reveal that it often depends on the context. It is used 5 times in Colossians alone. In the Old Testament, the word of God, the word of the Lord, from the Hebrew Dabar, Yahweh, has a rich usage in the Old Testament. It is used 242 times. It is translated into the Septuagint by at least three Greek words, which are also used in the New Testament. This study only addresses the New Testament usage. It'd be a whole other pamphlet if I dealt with the Old Testament. Colossians 1:5. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Here the Bible tells us exactly what this word refers to, the gospel. Colossians 1:25, of this church I was made a minister, according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Colossians 1:26, that is, now it's defining what the word of God is, the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here, the Bible tells us what the word of God is. In this context, the word of God is the mystery of Christ in every believer. Colossians 3:16, our passage, the word of Christ. Then next we'll look at 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So you can see here it just talks about your speaking. People, God cares what we sound like. God cares what his love sounds like. Shouting and screaming is not the way he wants his love to sound. He cares what his love looks like. In 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to study, love does not act unbecoming. What does that mean? Well, let me just quickly say, a plate flying across the kitchen is not becoming. That's unbecoming. We'll take that up when we study it. Okay? So here the Bible tells us the word of God is in context. The word of God, the mystery of Christ in every believer. And then Colossians 3:17. Now, let's move on. Context here refers to our own speaking. Then we look at Colossians coming up, 4:3. Praying at the same time for us as well. Pray for the pastor, in this case Paul, but pray for any pastor, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. Here the context defines the word referring to the mystery of Christ. Roman numeral 2. Let's note some of the descriptions given into the word. 1. The word of Christ. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by a word of Christ. We have Rhema, R-H-E-M-A, which refers to the salvation message of Jesus Christ in this passage. In another passage, it refers to something else. The absence of the definite article is there to emphasize the quality of the message. The quality of the gospel, it is the highest message in quality that you can give anyone. Tell someone they're beautiful, they're wonderful, they're nice, they're kind, they're this, they're that. That's all really nice. But if you want to pay them the highest quality, share the gospel with them. Share the gospel. A man from Sears came into our house this last week, working on our refrigerator. Nice black gentleman, and we were just talking, and I said, look, I've got to ask you a question. Have you ever believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior? And people, the biggest smile came on his face. Yeah, yes I have. We shook hands. We're going to be in eternity together. And then I said, and there'll be no more refrigerators to work on. And we just had a really good conversation. People, when you share with somebody who is a believer, they're happy. Share it with someone that isn't a believer, you may be opening the door for their happiness. B, simply, His Word, referring to the Lord, Romans 8:28, for the Lord will execute His Word on the earth thoroughly and quickly. Here it refers to the Word of the Lord, referring to His prophetic words of future events. C, the Word preached to you, 2 Corinthians 1:18, but as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. 2 Corinthians 1:19, for the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me, and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in Him. We could classify this under the heading, our word, so as the context clearly shows, the word refers to the teaching concerning Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing to talk with people about, people. I'm talking about football, that's boring today. That's really anti-American. All these kind of things that's going on. Just talk about Jesus Christ. Well, do you know why He died for you? Well, no, not really. And when I'm put into certain circumstances, and I don't know, and the woman's wearing a cross around her neck, I like to say, do you know what that cross you're wearing around your neck stands for? And I invariably have them say, well, not really. I'd never have had one, never have had one. Yes, I know exactly what it means. So, just any little way, start talking about Jesus Christ. D, the Word of the Lord, referring to Jesus Christ, 1 Thessalonians 1:8. For the Word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. Here in context, the Word of the Lord refers to the teaching of Jesus Christ that they have received from Paul. E, the Word of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until His coming, coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Context here refers to the message of the Lord and His authority of His second coming, calling home the church. F, the word of the Lord. Well, let me see. This is the same thing as E, but word of the Lord, 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified just as it did among you. What's this referring to? The gospel. The gospel. All right, next, the word of Christ. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. H, the word of the Lord again, or the word of the Lord, the word. 1 Peter 2:1-25, but the word of the Lord, Rhema, endures forever. Teaching of Jesus Christ and about Jesus Christ will be forever, people. And this is the word which was preached to you. And then the next one I like, my word. People, I hope the word of God is your word. I hope the gospel is your gospel. My word, Revelation 3:8, Jesus Christ, I, Jesus Christ, know your deeds. Behold, I, Jesus Christ, have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have a little power, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. I pray that no matter how tough things get, no one in this room ever denies Jesus Christ. I just pray that. It may happen to a teenager in class. Don't want to be embarrassed. Don't want to be embarrassed in front of his friends, especially a girl. Just different types of circumstances. Parents, I hope you teach your children. Don't ever be embarrassed. It's the greatest name. It's a name that gave you eternal life. It's the name of the Son of God. Don't ever be embarrassed by that name. It's the greatest name on earth. It's a name that you inherited. You're in Christ. So it is his word. I, Jesus Christ, know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. They have lived by faith in the Holy Spirit, keeping his word in their lives. Word of faith. That's a good one. Secondly, I see all those others were the same. I got it. Okay, this second word, word of faith. Romans 10:8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. Here we have Rhema, which emphasizes the speaking of the words. Three, word of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Here the word refers to the entire scope of the crucifixion of Christ and his resurrection. When they were learning in our study on Wednesday night of Acts, every sermon in the book of Acts includes the resurrection of Christ. That's just amazing. Not really. Four, word of wisdom and knowledge. 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:36. Was it from you that the word of God first went forth, or has it come to you only? Here it refers to the gospel. Word of God, Philippians 1:14. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord, because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. See, they're not afraid. They're afraid to give the gospel. When one person is strong, that encourages others to be strong. I want you to be the strong one. I don't want you to have somebody else say, "Well, yeah, that's right. I need to say." I want you to be the one. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Christ. If you don't like it, tough. See? It's a way of salvation. It's a way of eternal life. I wish you would consider this word, this name, that type of thing. See the word of God. For this reason also, constantly thank God when you receive the word of God, which you have heard from us. You accept it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Word of God, Titus 2:5, concerning young women, to be sensitive, sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own. Do you realize how little congregation I'd get if I taught that? I would have they might be there that class, but the next class, the young girls would not be in with that teaching. That's what's wrong in our homes. That's what's wrong in our country. They're not taught by their parents how to be a wife, how to be a husband. Our society has made being a wife second class citizen. Before God, it's first class. But not in our society. They have intimidated women to give up who they are in the home as a wife. So, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Whenever a wife is not subject to her husband, she dishonors the word of God, people. It's that simple. You do not honor your husband, you're not honoring the word of God. I hope that's clear. You're not honoring the word of God. Colossians 1:25. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even as far as the dividing of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. People, this is the self-help book. This is the only self-help book you need. You don't need counseling books, psychology books, social books, this book. This book will tell you what's wrong, why you don't have happiness, peace, and joy. It has nothing to do with your circumstances of your life. It has to do with your relationship with the Holy Spirit. This is the great self-help book right here. Hebrews 6:5. And have tasted the good word of God, Rhema, and the powers of the age to come. These are believers who started growing in the knowledge of Christ, but soon got distracted and stopped learning in the Word of God. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand. Do you understand that? Not by IQ. By faith. Start teaching your little children. It doesn't depend. Well, they're not old enough. No, they're old enough. They're old enough. It's by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the power of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. It's just amazing. Children do not learn that we're here, that all is here by the creation of God. Girls are not trained and taught because they're not taught the word to be a wife. We're not taught the truth of the Bible. No wonder we're in a mess. Take the Bible out from your own life and see where you would be. You'd be right where all the world is. The Word of God, Hebrews 11:3, 2 Peter 5, for when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the Word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. He spoke it, and it was there. 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring Word of God. 1 John 2:14, I have written to you. I'm so thankful that Kit put these out. You can take this home. And you've got them all down now. You can go over these things. When it gets cold and rainy, you don't want to watch TV, just pull out these and start going through these. Go over these things. 1 John 2:14, I have written to you, fathers, because you know who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. And the Word of God, advanced teaching of the Word of God, abides in you. And you have overcome the evil one. Revelation 1:2. Who, John the writer of Revelation, testified to the word of God, all the prophecy about to be revealed in the book of Revelation, and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Revelation 6:9. When the Lamb, Jesus Christ, broke the fifth seal, I saw. Remember, chapter 6 is the six seals of the book. It's an easy chapter to remember. Alright? Broke the fifth seal. I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain, martyrs, because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. There are a multitude of people martyred in church history. I don't believe we're in for the plan of God. There are a multitude of martyrs for Christ who were martyred and are being martyred today. Today! More people have been martyred in the last 50 years or 100 years than in all time of the church age combined. It's bad to be a Christian. This refers to the gospel and to all the teachings about Christ and the plan of God. Multitudes have been martyred throughout church age because they would not retract from their faith in the Word of God. Revelation 19:13. He, Jesus Christ, is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And you want to be ashamed of the Word of God? You don't want to study the Word of God? It's his name. The Word of Reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Here the word is clearly all the teaching concerning being reconciled with God through Jesus Christ by grace through faith. Simply the word, Galatians 6:6, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches, that's the pastor teacher, teaches him. Context here is the teaching of the Word of God, the Old Testament and New Testament. The Word, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. This exhortation is to the pastor teacher to teach the entire Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, and to do so, when people are positive, in season, and when they don't show up, out of season. See, why should he do it if few are there? One, for those few that are there, but two, the faithfulness of God. No one's going to be able to say, well, I didn't have the opportunity. Oh, yeah, you did. It was being taught. There were a few men around the country, around the world, who are faithful. And that vindicates him. They have no grounds to stand on. Colossians 4:3, praying at the same time for us as well. And again, I ask you to be in prayer for me, that God will open up to us a door for the Word. Be in prayer for this assembly. Missionaries. Be in prayer for the Dags and the Wises, young people. Open up a door, even if it's just the door of one soul, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned. Hebrews 4:2. For indeed we have had good news preached to us. This is sad. We've had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them. Why not? Because it did not unite, it was not united by faith in those who heard. Hearing the word is not just building a big vocabulary of doctrine is not the issue. It's transferring that doctrine to faith and that faith to your life, living. James 1:21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. It endures forever. The sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation. See, put on the whole armor. You start off with some of the armor. But you got to put on other parts. You put on, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Speaking of God, about Christ. The Word of Truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. This is contextually for the pastor-teacher, but by application refers to every believer. This describes the quality of the word of God, the Bible. We have seen the spirit of truth, hear the word of truth. Colossians 1:5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard, the word of truth, the gospel. I love this one, the faithful word. Here's something you depend on, people. Titus 1:5, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict the faithful word. You want something faithful? Don't look at man. Don't look at Republicans or Democrats or conservatives or whatever it is. They're fickle. Stay with something that's faithful. And that which is faithful is the Word of God. It's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The Word of Life, Philippians 2:16, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. The word of life, that's the word that gives life, the gospel. 1 John 1:1, what was from the beginning, which we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, referring to Jesus Christ, referring to the word of Christ, the gospel, the word of righteousness. Hebrews 5:13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Like the mystery, the word of righteousness refers to advanced teaching and understanding all the mystery, perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, imputed righteousness of every believer who believes in Jesus Christ, and then living a righteous life. Three aspects of righteousness. Few believers live a righteous life, primarily because few believers know how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith, and are committed to a life of growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. See? For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. Turn on the TV. Watch some of the big church preachers. You'll get a good dose of milk. If that. Sometimes not even that. But at least a little milk will be dished out. But no growth. I take it as a compliment, and I'm disturbed. You know, going to your church is like going to a classroom in college. I don't want to go to church to that. I want to go to church to just worship and learn and sing and pray. See? People, worship is learning the Word of God. You want the Word of righteousness, not just milk. You want meat. You want a good, thick T-bone steak to put your teeth into. Now that's eating. See? That's eating. And that's what you get from teaching of the Word of God. And then the good Word. And have tasted, Hebrews 6:5, have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the age to come. That's the good Word. It's a T-bone steak. See? It's not pumpkin pie. It's T-bone steak. You got to put your teeth into. Put your gums into. Then, I like this one, the prophetic word. 1 Peter 1:19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, future events before they occur. To come, you do well to pay attention. Prophetic word, you do well to pay attention. As to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Listen, look around the world, it's dark. I don't know if you look at it, it's dark. We have a light. That light is the prophetic word. See, when I did the book of Revelation, and I handed out the introduction, the first page, God wins. I read the last chapter, God wins. So, whatever happens in history, God wins. Whatever happens next month in the elections, God wins. He can't lose. He can't be taken by surprise. So don't be overjoyed or over-depressed. Okay, summary of Testament terms. The Word of Christ, the Word of faith, the Word of the cross, the Word of wisdom and knowledge, the Word of God, Word of reconciliation, the Word, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of truth, the faithful Word, the Word of life, the Word of righteousness, the good Word, the prophetic Word, the name Jesus Christ, the Word of God. We could spend months just on this one list alone that you've just looked at, the 15 things. Colossians 3:16, the Word of Christ, let dwell in you richly. There's one more issue in the phrase, the Word of Christ. Does this refer to just the teaching by Jesus Christ? In other words, does this refer to just the red letters in your red letter Bible? No, afraid not. I'm not against the red letter Bible. I had it when I was a kid and I loved it. Kind of brought the attention. Hey, Jesus Christ said this. Pay close attention. See? But it refers to much more than just the red letter. See? Revelation 19:13. He, Jesus Christ, is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Every book of the Bible is about Jesus Christ. Every book. Esther, God is not even mentioned in the book of Esther. It's about Jesus Christ. This now brings us to the second question. How do we let dwell in us the Word of Christ? We've spent some 18 pages on what it is. And now we just have to spend a page or two on how do you let it dwell? The answer is completely dependent upon three things. The Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, your faith. Faith of the believer as he studies and reads the Word of God. That's how it resides in you, dwells in you, richly. Richly, over and over and over. Advancing, not just the same message, but advancing more and more. This book, that book, this understanding. So, how do we let dwell in us the Word of Christ dwell in us richly? The Word of God itself, the Holy Spirit, faith. Passage on the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit would require months and months of study. We shall simply note some of the more important passages of Scripture that teach. The only way we can let the Word of God richly dwell in us is to allow the Holy Spirit to guide or teach us the Word of God. We all need to be taught about Jesus Christ. Isaiah, Old Testament, 54:13. All your sons will be taught the Word of God, and the well-being of your sons will be great. The humanity of Jesus Christ needed the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, people. Look at Isaiah 11:1. Then, a shoot, Jesus Christ, will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will rest on him. Now note six ministries of the Holy Spirit to Jesus Christ. The Spirit of wisdom, that'll be next week for us. Understanding. The Spirit of counsel and strength. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. All of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. You know, we're taught and encouraged not to preach hellfire and brimstone lessons anymore. I think we maybe some of us need to get back to that. Get back to a little hellfire preaching. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, guess where you're going? People need to be told the truth. They, not just all love, he's righteous. And his wrath will be demonstrated. There is a heaven to gain by faith. And there is a hell to fear by the absence of faith. You need to be taught this. Two, then the all-important passage in John 14, where Jesus Christ tells the 11 disciples about his sending the Holy Spirit. He is here called the Spirit of Truth, 14:17, and then the all-important verse of our study. 14:26, but the Parakletos. Now, if you have a Bible, most of them will have something like helper. I hate that. I vehemently hate that. Help me push my car. That means I get out and do my part too. We don't help the Holy Spirit. He does it. All we do is add faith, and that's nothing. Christ is not a translation. Christos is not a translation. That's a transliteration. It's right out from the Greek word for Greek letter for letter. And so, if we can do that with Christ, I want to do it with the Holy Spirit. But the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. You got it? Not only will he teach you, he'll bring it to your remembrance. And let me tell you something. When you get as old as Jim Passmore and me, that's a wonderful idea. He'll bring to remembrance. We depend on that a lot. See? And sometimes we think he's forgotten, but really it's us. See? And then John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. This is also said of Christ, by the way. And he will disclose to you what is to come. John 16:14, he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. Then there is the all-important passage in Paul. 1 Corinthians 2:10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Scriptures revealed through and only by the Holy Spirit. I really don't like going into just picking out things in 1 Corinthians 2. It's one of the richest chapters in the Bible. But we'll do that for sake of time. 1 Corinthians 2:11. We'll be back in it next week. 1 Corinthians 2:11. For who among men, knows the thoughts of a man except the Spirit that is in man? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. You want to know about God? You better have the Holy Spirit. Verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Galatians 5:5, that's the Holy Spirit. So that we may know the things freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in words through human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts, spiritual words. I'm going to share with you the dilemma of being a pastor, teacher. Next Sunday, we're going to cover wisdom. People, I could spend a year and still not do it just. I don't want to spend a year on it. But just in our readings today, we've seen how many times the word wisdom has come up. And I've got to try to train this into an hour. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Let's look at verse 14. But a natural man, not filled with the Spirit, unbeliever, or believer not filled with the Spirit, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. A believer not filled with the Holy Spirit cannot understand. This is not just unbelievers. Why are so many born-again believers so stupid? They don't know how to be filled with the Spirit. They do not study in the Spirit. They do not understand the Word of God in the Spirit. So verse 14, but a natural man, that's what we are when we're carnal, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual, filled with by the Spirit, by faith, appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by none. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. Contextually, that's the Holy Spirit. That's not Bible doctrine. I was taught that's Bible doctrine. Context, that's not Bible doctrine. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And then you go to Isaiah 40:13, which is that is a quote of, that's the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. See? The believer empowered by the Holy Spirit has the Holy Spirit to give him or her supernatural power into the true meaning of the supernatural Word of God. This book is supernatural. Don't expect to get it in the flesh. It's supernatural. You have to have supernatural power, the Holy Spirit, to understand it. This is why it is so essential that every believer know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can teach the Word of God. When that believer is studying the Bible, we are filled by the Holy Spirit and out of carnality by grace through faith. Colossians 3:16, our passage, the Word of Christ let dwell in you richly. This means that every one of you decide whether or not the Word of Christ will dwell in you. It does not automatically dwell like the indwelling of the Spirit. You have to make a decision, your own decision, each day in your own life about this, whether the Word of God is going to dwell in you. You make this decision by consistently going where the Word of Christ is consistently taught. John Quincy Adams, 6th President of the United States, 1825 to 1829, said, "So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my childhood began to read it, the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens to their country and respectable members of society," end quote. But of course, our children are taught in public schools that our founding fathers were not Christians. They did not love the Bible. Oh boy, they did. Patrick Henry, another one of the founding fathers who shaped our freedom and liberties, said this about the Bible. There is a book about the Bible worth all books which were ever printed. Thomas Jefferson, this on the study of the Bible, "I have always said, and I always say, that the studious pursuit of that sacred volume, the Bible, will make better citizens, better fathers, better husbands. Of course, today, without the influence of the Bible, our leaders are violently set on destroying the family structure, making homosexuality, same-sex marriages, all the rest of it. The home structure is not valued in our society today. But Thomas Jefferson said it was. And it's dependent on the Bible. So, in closing, what does the Word of Christ mean to you? Do you have an insatiable desire to be indwelt richly by the Word of Christ? Let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are, Father, that you made yourself known to us. You revealed yourself to us, not only in your creation, but absolutely in your Word. We have your Word. And then, Heavenly Father, in the church age, you were even more remarkable. You gave indwelling into every one of us the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray your Spirit can use what we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.